Thank you, praise team. That's true. God is forever faithful, and he is forever who we worship and serve. If you have your Bibles, I encourage you to open to Hebrews chapter 11 today. Hebrews chapter 11. I'm going to be speaking from one verse today, so maybe you can even memorize that verse. But as I think about it, I think of the message title is God Still Speaks Through Death. And as I think about what this weekend is, as Memorial Day weekend, I'm very thankful for the men and women who have stood for our freedom and given of their lives. And you may have a loved one that you're even thinking of now that has given of themselves. And you remember that life. And those are tough times to think on and remember. But we have this one verse that I'm going to be looking at. Before I go to that one verse, though, I'd like for you to do a little exercise with me, if you will. You obviously don't have to do this by any means, but I'd like for you to do this. I'd like for you on your bulletin or on a piece of paper somewhere, write this down. I'd like for you to write down 3 to 5 things that you have materially that you really like. Some 3 to 5 material possessions that if somebody said, you know what, I'm going to take that trunk away from you. I'm going to take that hutch away from you. I'm going to take whatever we need to do something with that. I'd like for you to write that down. Maybe it's your car. Maybe you're like, dude, don't mess with my car. I've got a really nice car. Some of you are like, please take my car. Feel free. Do something with it. Give me something different. Maybe it's your house. You're like, no, I really love my home. And if anybody ever took my home, boy, that would be really tough for me. Maybe it's a piece of clothing for you. Write down 3 to 5 things. 3 to 5 things that are very meaningful to you as you think on your life. And if you're not going to write them down, just think on those. Think on those things that are important to you, that are material items. Because we all have material items that are very important to us. I love helping people move. This really isn't part of the message, but it'll explain this a little bit here, I think. I love helping people move. Not that I like to get rid of people, but there's something about putting things in a truck that's just really kind of fun. And for me, I may be weird. But one of the things when I help people move or I help them move in, one of the things I always want to make sure I do is say, okay, what's the 1 or 2 things that we need to be real protective of? And it's always fun with some people because you're like, really? I'm going to protect this? Really? This thing's a piece. Never mind. I don't say that out loud. Because for me, it has no emotional attachment. But for them, it's something. And so it's like a wicker something. You're like, how am I going to keep this wicker piece of furniture capable of driving clear across the country? But we'll work on that. Anyway, there are some things that are very meaningful to you, which I think is very good. Now, I want you to do another thing. Write down, and this is going to be a stretch for some of you, because it'll be a stretch on one side or a stretch on another. Write down 3 to 5 family members, if you can, on your piece of paper that really means something to you. Now, again, some of you, I think about this and they're like, well, I could spend a whole lifetime here writing down family members, but I'd like to just kind of write down 3 to 5 family members. Maybe if you want to go 20 and you want to spend a little more time, that's fine. Some of you have some large families. Now, some of you are like, dude, do I have to write 3? So write at least 3 family members, all right? There's got to be at least 3 family members that you have that you enjoy. Now, here's another one. Another one. Write down 3 friends. Some individuals that if they jumped out of your life, and that might be some family members, it might not. Write down some friends that if they jumped out of your life, it would be difficult for you. Some people that if I just pointed you out right now, I said, if you needed something right now, who would you go to? And you'd give me the name of Steve. Steve's the guy. Or whatever his name is, or whatever her name is. Give me write down three friends that mean something that are just super valuable to you. Again, they may be family, they may be friends. Hold on to those things, and we're going to come back to them at the end of the message. I want to speak to you today about death. But I also want to speak to you today about life and what that means. So if you have your Bibles, join me in Hebrews chapter 11. We're going to be at verse 4 today. If you're a guest of ours today, we've been working through Hebrews, and now we find ourselves right smack dab in the faith chapter. If you're in the service today, you want to come back next week. I'm going to talk about Enoch, and that's another fun little verse that we'll talk about next week. But today, we're going to talk about Abel. And so here's what it says in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 4. It's on Pew Bible, page 1007, or you can watch on the screen behind me, or maybe you brought a Bible as well. Here's what it says. By faith, Abel offered to God a more acceptable sacrifice than Cain, through which he was commended as righteous, God commending him by accepting his gifts. And through his faith, though he died, he still speaks. And through his faith, though he died, he still speaks. The first thing I want you to see is by faith. That's a very important part. You see this, we talked about this a little bit last week. I didn't highlight this, but verse 3 says by faith. And then you look in verse 4, you see by faith. And if you go all throughout Hebrews chapter 11, you're going to see the by faith. Actually, there is 18 different references to by faith. So there's got to be something that we got to have here, that we need to do this by faith. If you don't catch anything else this morning, know that this life is by faith is what it is. Each of these people, it says by faith. It doesn't say by their might or by their dreaming or by their scheming or by their hoping or by their talents or by their last name. It says by faith. Now, it doesn't mean that they didn't have any talent. It doesn't mean that they didn't have any hopes or dreams, but it does mean that the people had faith. Were they the only people? The ones that are mentioned in Hebrews chapter 11, were they the only people that had faith? No, I don't necessarily agree with that per se, but it's interesting to note who this author says we need to highlight these people from the Old Testament and why they had faith. Does it mean that these people in this chapter, well, they had the real faith, and then other people in the Bible, they didn't really have real faith, but these, no, I think it's the ones that we're supposed to understand. As mentioned last Sunday, I desire each of you to grow in your faith and by faith know God each and every day. And I desire for you to be in the great cloud of witnesses. And they're cheering on for cheering us on. And how is your faith? But here's what number two says. By faith, Abel. It's interesting as we begin in this passage to say, why was the first person mentioned Abel? He obviously wasn't the first man. First man was Adam. So why didn't it say Adam? And I don't think that it was necessarily that he lived, though he seemed to live well. I think the author is telling us from the very beginning of time that our life is more important than just a few years here on earth. All of the people that remain in Hebrews have passed on. None of them are alive today in the physical realm. But I think that the author is saying that even from the first death, life still speaks. Abel was the first one to die in all of our history. His death was brought about also not by natural cause, but by murder. Sin had its effect early on and continues to difficult and has challenges for us today. Cain introduced physical murder into all of history. Think on that for a moment. Cain introduced physical murder into all of history. I wondered for a moment, what do you and I introduce? Hopefully, life. The story of Cain and Abel, if you go back to Genesis chapter 4, is a little hard to understand because we're not sure exactly why God preferred Abel's offering over Cain's. One thought is that the most important thing to the Hebrew was the blood. We talked about that a few weeks back. Thus, maybe the best sacrifice was more acceptable because it was a sacrifice of blood. We are not sure if this is true or not, and we wonder about this. But I think that we should give of our most important, and that's what the Hebrews would say. You need to give of your most important, and that's the life, and in the life is blood. And so that's so very important. I think we should give of our finances. I think we should give of our houses, our clothes, our lawnmowers, our books, our computers, our smartphones, whatever of our physical possessions, the Lord. However, God wants all of us, not just things we can give to him. He wants us. If you look back in the narrative from Genesis, you will also see in 4:4, here's what it says. If you want to turn there, you can. But here's what it says. It says this, and Abel also brought of the firstborn of his flock and other fat portions. Now, you could read this two different ways. You could read that Cain was bringing his offering, and so, you know what? Abel also brought his offering in. And so it's just also brought it along as well. Or you could read it that Abel actually brought an offering, and then he also brought another offering. So in some aspects, you could see it as maybe two offerings. Maybe Cain was envious, or not sure. Or could it be said, just as Hebrews said, Abel's offering was good because it was by faith. Does God accept our offering because it is by faith? That's why when I talk on several things in the church, one of those is including finances, the words are, why don't you step out in faith? Because that's a step in faith. And some of you step out in faith in that every day. You're like, God, I'm not sure where all this money is going to come from, but I'm stepping out in faith. Or he asked you to increase your giving. Oh, man, how am I going to do that? Or if you're going to go to the mission field, would you step out in faith and go to the mission field? Or would you lead a small group? Would you step out in faith? And it's by faith that we do that. I ask you, what do you do in your life by faith alone? Well, everything, Pastor Steve. Okay, I ask you more specifically, what's something in this last year, or what's something that you're looking forward to, that you're doing it and you think there is no logical reason why this should happen at all? But I am willing to step out in faith, and I'm willing to say, by faith, I will do this. Is there anything? Or do we just go through our lives and say, well, I can do this. I'm good. I've got it all taken care of. No, do we step out in faith, and God calls us to something that's even greater? God honored Abel's gift, and that was not well received by Cain. If you look back in Genesis chapter 4, you will see this. Cain could have resisted the part of envy, but here's what it says. But sin was crouching at his door, and Cain invited that sin in instead of slamming the door on it and resisting it. If he would have resisted, the story would have changed. Story over to change. Number three, though he died, Abel still speaks. Hear me in this. Every one of us is going to die. Whether we be the youngest in the room or the oldest in the room, we're going to pass on. I stood here, think about right here, on Wednesday and had a memorial service for a 15-year-old. Hudson, my son, has a teammate that his grandma was at the game a couple of weeks ago, and she was at the game on Thursday, and age 63 on Friday, she died of a heart attack. Sad. Everyone is going to pass on. An evangelist asked all who wanted to go to heaven to raise their hands. Everyone in the audience did so except one elderly man sitting near the front of the auditorium. So the preacher pointed his finger at him and said, "Sir, do you mean to tell us that you don't want to go to heaven?" And the old man says, "Sure, I want to go, but the way you put that question, I figured you were getting up a busload tonight." Everyone's going to pass on. It's a given. Our bodies give up. They were made to live forever, but the flood changed that. Hear these words from Barclay. He's a commentator. When a man leaves this world, he leaves something in it. He may leave something which will grow and spread like a canker, or he may leave something fine with which blossoms and flourishes without end. He leaves an influence of good or ill. Everyone, when he dies, still speaks. May God grant to us to leave behind not a germ of evil. May God grant to us to leave behind not a germ of evil, but a lovely thing in which the lives of those who come afterwards will find blessing. What will be said of you when you pass on? Just like Abel, we understand things about Abel. What's going to be said of you when you pass on? Many times when I meet with a family and I talk to them about things coming up for a funeral service, I'll ask this question. I'll say, if you had to give a sentence of this person's life, what sentence would that be? Because that's what we're mostly reduced to, is we're reduced to a sentence. No, do you remember Steve? Boy, he was a nice guy because he liked da-da-da-da-da. And then we finish it. Now, some people want to know a little more, and they ask for a paragraph about Steve, but very few people want to know the 10-page story about Steve Selfridge. It'll be a sentence of your life as well. What will that sentence be? What would your sentence be? Sometimes in this life, let's come up with a mission statement or a vision statement or a purpose statement for yourself, and maybe you do that. And if you do that, live that out. It could be a challenge to what you're pursuing. Each of us in this room get to a place in our lives that we say, am what I'm pursuing really all that valuable and good? Is this really all there is? We get to that place in our lives, and we start asking that question because there are many tragedies that come, many sadness that come. On his deathbed, there was a British preacher, Charles Simeon. He smiled brightly and asked the people gathered in his room. He says this, "What do you think especially gives me comfort at this time?" They all remained silent, and he said, "The creation. I ask myself, did Jehovah create the world or did I? He did. Now, if he made the world and all the rolling spheres of the universe, he certainly can take care of me. Into Jesus' hands, I can safely commit my spirit." Several years ago, my grandfather, who lived in Oregon, passed on. And my grandfather was a big Oregon State Beaver fan. Anybody OSU Beaver? All right, well, that's okay. I was born in Oregon City, Oregon. So anyway, we were asked to wear orange and black, the school colors. Is that what describes us? Is that what describes you? Won't be the Oregon State Beavers, I'm assuming, but nobody here even knew them. But is that what would describe you? What speaks about your life? I think that we can have passions and interests and great joys in life, but what is the underlying thing? And do people see that through all of the other exterior things that we have going on? I got some tombstone comments here, so please look at the screen. Here was one. "Here lies Ann Mann, who lived an old maid but died an old man." Here's another tombstone. "Here lies the bonnet of Jonathan Blake, stepped on the gas instead of the brake." Here's another one. Now, yeah, "She always said her feet were killing her, but nobody believed her." This guy's name was John Strange. Sorry, Brett and Megan, hopefully you'll like this one okay, but "Here lies an honest lawyer, and that is Strange." His last name was Strange. Come on now here. All right. Another one. "Looked up the elevator shaft to see if the car was on the way down. It was." And one in Georgia said this, "I told you I was sick." What will be said of you? I don't know what will be said of you. These are kind of clever. These are kind of neat. Since I arrived in 2008 at First Western Church, I have officiated 48 funeral, memorial services, or graveside ceremonies. Every one of these individuals that I have either stood here at Black Hills National Cemetery or some other place has a story. Some of you have been involved in some of those, and you remember those, even in this building or another place, and there's a story that's there. Now, sometimes those stories speak loudly, and those stories still speak to me, and those stories speak to you, and when those people pass on, some of those times can be pretty easy, and some of those times can be pretty difficult. I thought of this also when I was thinking about this whole passage. Some of you have had or know of someone who has had a stillborn or a miscarriage. And even those lives, which I believe all lives begin at conception, even those lives, even though we didn't get to see them flourish outside the womb, still speak to us. Moffat says this, "Death is never the last word in the life of a righteous man." I'm going to repeat that. Death is never the last word in the life of a righteous man. Know this fact. Just like Abel, though you will pass on, you will be remembered. It may be that you are not remembered by many, or you may be remembered by the masses. One of the individuals I think of right now is who's getting very old is Billy Graham. And he's going to be remembered by the masses. True statement. And there's some other country preachers out somewhere, either in Montana or upstate New York or down in Virginia or in Arizona or wherever, that will never be remembered by the masses, but they're going to be remembered by some. Will you and I be remembered for our faith? Will you be remembered as a cowboy, a quilter, a coffee drinker, a stuffed animal collector, a garage sailor, a painter, a walker, a legal assistant or secretary, a medical professional? Will you be remembered for your hats or your cars or your animals? Sometimes when we go to a funeral, we stand back, we sit back, and we listen to them talk about whomever, and we think, who are they talking about? That wasn't the guy that I remember. Don't let that happen for you. When people stand up and say, I remember this guy, I remember this lady. And hear this. Not only are we talking about Abel here, by faith Abel, and it says Abel, and we're talking about his faith. Not only does Abel speak to us, but Cain speaks to us as well. Think on this. Cain was religious. He was offering something to God, but trod not the way of Cain. Well, I never murdered anybody, Pastor Steve, but what does Matthew 5 tell us? Matthew 5 tells us that even if we have anger in our hearts, if we have anger in our hearts, then we are going the way of Cain. I want you to fast forward for just a moment to Hebrews chapter 12, verse 24. Because of this reason, here's what it says. And to Jesus, the mediator of a new covenant, and to the sprinkled blood that speaks a better word than the blood of Abel. There can be no reason assigned for the offering of blood as an atonement for sin, except that it originally made a reference to the great atonement which was made by blood, and the salvation of man. It's interesting, Abel and what his offering was, and then Jesus, what his offering was. Let me go back way to the first part of the message. I asked you to do me a favor, and maybe you did, maybe you didn't. I asked you to write down 5 material possessions, 3 to 5. I asked you to write down 3 to 5 family members or 3 friends. They are here for you today, each of those, and you will impact those, and you will be impacted by those, but you and I will pass. Will those things mean as much in death as they did in life? And all of those things, those material possessions, are going to go away. What legacy am I living? What legacy are you living? As I think on this, I think of several individuals that are older than me. And this hits a little more at home for those who are older than me, because you think, boy, how much time do I have left on this earth? There are, and I encourage you to think on that and say, what legacy are you leaving? What do people say about you right now? I just have a stubborn streak. Well, God can help you with that stubborn streak to put it in the right way. However, there are some of you who are younger than I am. And you say, boy, I got a lot to live. I can't promise you anything. Can't promise you anything. And each of us, whether we're 92 or 12, whether we're 6 or 66, whether we're 43 or 23, whether we're 73 or 36, we're going to pass on sometime. Ecclesiastes says there's a time for everything, a time to be born and a time to die. And I love this passage. I love this verse, and maybe you just need to write it down. And through his faith, though he died, he still speaks. And that's my encouragement to you. Through your faith, though you will pass on, somebody will say, but I know that man. He was a man of God. I know that woman. She was a woman of God. And our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ will supersede anything in our life, and we'll give praise to him. Would you stand with me today? I want to pray for you on this day. Lord Jesus, I pray for each person in this room. I believe they've heard the message from your word today. And I pray that each one of us in this room will have faith in you. Lord Jesus, I pray for somebody here today that this whole understanding of have faith in God is a new concept to them and they don't even know how to begin that. I pray that even right now you would just woo them to your side and you'd say, trust in me. Though you cannot see me, you can know me. And I pray that they'd put their faith in you today. I pray for each person that people would say of us that even when we pass on, our faith in you still speaks. Here we are, thousands of years away from a man named Abel, and his faith still speaks. May that be said of us, whether it be by the masses or just a few, may our faith in you still speak. Lord Jesus, I thank you for some of those individuals who have passed on that we're thinking about maybe even today. I pray that we would continue to trust in you and that their lives would continue to spur us on to even greater things. And so, Lord, go before us today. Lord, I pray for somebody else who is here today who's saying by faith, and they're going to be willing to step out in faith in something. I pray that you would seal that even now, and that they would step out in faith and say, by faith, I'm going to do this. And they will trust in you as Savior and God, and they will rely upon you each and every day. I pray that you go before us this week. Wherever we go, wherever our feet take us, may you be a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. Thank you, God, for your presence in our lives. And we pray this all in the mighty and the powerful name of Jesus. Amen.